Joel, what's going on, man?
What's going on, family? Good to be here with you.
Yeah, you I'm about to say I needed that camera. We still got Deacon Bingham. Deacon Bingham. Yeah.
I'm Bishop Bingham.
Bishop Bingham. I'm Deacon Bethea. You're Bishop Bingham. I'm Deacon Bethea, and you Bishop. And then we got Satoshi. That's how you pronounce it, right? Satoshi.
Satoshi.
So this is the episode. So we was gonna do this. I was gonna record it, then I was gonna share it later, but we might as well keep going with the live, man. So what's going on, good brother? How you doing? First of all, Joel. Man. What you want? Joel, Andre?
Nah, Joel is good, B.
Yeah.
I'm a simple guy.
Now I see you got Joel, Andre. So yeah. Give people that don't know you, give them a little history on you.
Oh, man, where would I begin? About me, what you got to understand is that I got a loud mouth, but I really don't be saying nothing. A lot of my victories have been really private, despite the fact that I try to be kind of outspoken about the things that catch my eyes, you know, the things that matter to me, like criminal justice reform, voter education, the way our country is going. Those are all things that I comment on a lot. But, you know, I'm really beginning to see that you do a lot of development work in private where nobody really sees and understands. So everything that I'm saying on social media is for social media, but that ain't probably reflective of my true life and what's important to me at some point. So if I was to say anything, I'm always in life the most improved. I'm never number one, never the smartest kid, never got straight A's, never got none of that stuff. So that's not me. My intelligence is different. And it's different from what people expect. It doesn't reflect itself in GPAs and other things. But the one thing that I know is that my mind is in a beautiful place. I love strategizing. I love thinking about the future. I'm really future oriented. So the things that is unsettled in the law that we don't know what happens next, that's the stuff that really excites me. The two areas of law that I like that for me, it's marijuana and crypto. And this Satoshi is Black Shirt, of course, is a discussion of who is Satoshi cryptocurrency. So I'm willing to discuss some discussions about crypto today. And let's talk about what the future looks like.
Cool. And where you from originally?
I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, man. I'm just a kid from Kunupia in Trinidad. You know, shout out to all my people in Carony County in Trinidad, you know, Lee Trace North. I came to America at 13. I came to Asbury Park, New Jersey. So Jersey is a strong part of me. You know, Asbury Park, I ran there. I came up there. Those were my formative years. First time I ever saw white people, 1992, momentous day. You know.
Oh, can you, I don't know if you can move your thing, but that light in the back is just killing you, killing your
Oh, I understand. Let me see. Yeah. Maybe I just turn it off. It's early in the day.
Yeah. Nah, it was killing the visuals. There you go.
Momentous day in 1992 when I saw some pale.
So you didn't see white people in I've been to what's the name? Trinidad and Tobago. You didn't see no white people there when you was there?
Nah, the first white people I saw were my cousins from England, but they just passed for white. They were the first people that ever looked at those people we watched on TV our whole lives. So we're watching the same content as Americans without any white people. So that's how another way white supremacy is spread throughout the planet is that, you know, you're sitting there looking at your Christmases deficient because you ain't got no snow, no white Santa Claus.
Got you. All right. So let's get in.
That's another part of the trick.
That's another part of we're going to bring you back on to discuss that later. So let's go hard because this episode is called Crypto versus Everybody. We've been going at it for a couple years now on crypto. I think we were arguing different points, but, you know, on the internet, you can't really, it's no expound. Obviously, people don't know. We talk behind the scenes. We actually never met in person, but we have had multiple conversations over the years.
Man, you're like a brother to me, man.
Yeah, we like family now, yeah.
Like the relationship I got with Charlie, which is a huge relationship, I see my relationship with you as synonymous with that, man. And that says a lot about who you are as a person and how real you are and you know, who you've been, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let's get into it. So you wanted to talk about some things. So go ahead. The floor is yours for now until I start getting at you.
So here's the thing, man. I realized that apparently I never really believed in Bitcoin. And I realized that I was just a non-believer. And the reason I had to be a non-believer was because from 2018 to now, to 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, like I wasn't really dealing with crypto on a daily basis, you know, checking portfolios and stuff like that, doing none of that stuff. And it wasn't until 6 weeks ago or so, my dad sent me some Bitcoin, right? Okay. And there's a good story about how I got my dad involved. And, you know, the one thing about crypto is that I think everyone just has a really American perspective, but they kind of lack the international perspective of Bitcoin in particular.
Okay.
Like, internationally, people have problems getting access to their money. Right now in Trinidad and Tobago, my brother got to go in a line, into a line at 4 a.m., waiting until the banks open at 8 a.m. And he has to meet at the bank. Despite the fact that we're in Trinidad and Tobago, he has to have American dollars in his pocket to go to Western Union to send funds to America. So Trinidadians in Trinidad are required to have American dollars to send American dollars to America. Now, it's just strange and should appear to be strange to people, like, well, why can't they send Trinidadian dollars and have it convert the same way American dollars will convert? Uh-huh. The thing is, nobody wants to buy Trinidadian dollars, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So you have this very strange thing where American dollars, when and accounts in Trinidad denominated in American dollars, you have to have permission from the central bank to withdraw American dollars from your account. So you could be sitting on $1 million American dollars in Trinidad and uh-huh. you need $10,000 for a surgery. And you got to go apply to the central bank to get permission to withdraw United States dollars from your account. And if they don't approve it in time and you die.
Yo, that's like, crazy. So, that's a great perspective. I never even heard it.
Americans, like they take advantage of the idea that they have free alienation of money. We got Cash App, we got PayPal, we got all these things. But these things aren't interoperable on an international level. But Bitcoin is. So Bitcoin now, it's freely alienable. You can send it to whoever you want for whatever reason. And, you know, I remember, man, I've seen an account back when Bitcoin was at $10,000 per coin. The coin had 207 million US dollars in Bitcoin in it on the day that we were interacting with the account. Uh-huh. Like, you understand what it is to walk around with a phone with $207 million on it? And when Bitcoin goes to 50K, you're walking around $1 billion on your phone. So a lot of people were talking very early about how Bitcoin's not money. Uh-huh. And until I saw one account, 207 million at 10K, over 1 billion at 50K. Like, now you don't get that scale in perspective, because no one ever thought that you could walk around $1 billion on a phone. And if you want to lose the phone, you still have your $1 billion. Because if you know your mnemonics and you have the passcodes, you can reconstitute that Bitcoin wallet anywhere you are on the planet. So think about Bernie Madoff, for example. If Bernie Madoff had put all the money that he stole from everyone into Bitcoin, uh-huh. and Bernie turns himself and he did exactly what he did. Bernie Madoff is a real OG. You know, the guy just pled guilty. He never said, I'm going to cooperate, I'm going to do what. He's like, y'all got me, I'm guilty.
Yeah, it's funny because I had many conversations with people about Bernie Madoff. I said, Bernie Madoff is the only true gang, one of the real true gang, because he didn't snitch on anybody. Like, there's no way he did what he did all by himself.
And he kept all y'all money. Not a dime came back, all that restitution talk. Yeah. Y'all didn't got nothing.
I thought they did recover some money, though. They recovered some money.
Look, man, the man don't got to cooperate once he pleads guilty. He don't got to hit. So if I liken it to Bitcoin, if Bernie Madoff had his 12 passwords in his head and he had it and they have the wallet, they know where it is. They say, look, we got all the money right here. But you don't have them 12 passwords, you don't got nothing. I think recently in the rise and the uprun of Bitcoin, they talked about a guy who had stored his coins on this wallet. It's called like a treasure. And the guy, the money on the wallet, right? It's 20-something million dollars, and old boy can't get into it. And the people that made the technology can't even help him hack into it. So the technology is unhackable. So that's the part that people, when people talk about people losing Bitcoin, Bitcoin is unhackable. Bitcoin has never been hacked, but the wallets have been hacked, the security around it. So Bitcoin is the thing that you put into the safe, and the thieves that steal Bitcoin go through the walls of the safe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So Bitcoin ain't what's stolen. They break the wallet, they break the container, and they take the contents of the container. And it's fascinating. So you can't hack Bitcoin. So for one of the first times Bitcoin was stolen was back in 2013. There's something called Mt. Gox. They stole $660 million in Bitcoin back in 2013, right? Mm-hmm. After they stole it, all that $660 million from 2013 numbers, it sits in an account that everyone sees every day on the blockchain. We know where the stolen money is because it's in the blockchain, right? You're seeing the money, but can't nobody touch it. Because can't nobody break the encryption around it to get to the contents? Until we get quantum computers, which is a different discussion. And with quantum computers come online, all this Bitcoin encryption stuff goes to nothing because we don't think that there's going to be computers that could be more protective of quantum. Once we get to quantum computing, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to even have protection for money in the same way.
Yeah. So talk about, you said it was the four pillars of our prior conversation a couple of weeks ago. You said it's four, how did you phrase it? Four pillars of something.
So basically what's happening right now with Bitcoin, the digitization of currency is just a part of a huge shift that we are undergoing in the planet. Mm-hmm. One of the parts of the shift is to 5G and the future 6G. 5G is going to enable autonomous driving. It's going to allow computers to transmit so much information back and forth so quickly. Mm-hmm. For perspective, 5G is 100 times faster than 4G, right?
So 5G is what's giving us the COVID. I'm messing with you.
So, but 5G, one of the things that's going to come on is going to allow for cars to be autonomous because now we could transmit enough data from the vehicles that the vehicles could protect themselves. The other part is that electrification of cars. Right? You see Elon Musk. That's a big, huge part of the future because we're going to have self-driving cars. But we can't get there until the cars could communicate with each other, right? Another change you're going to have, you're seeing it right now in solar energy. We're learning how to get energy from the sun and the energy is becoming cheaper and cheaper and batteries are coming better and better. All these things. So you have digitization of currency. You have everyone is going to be flown into electric cars soon enough. Everyone's going to be in autonomous driving right now. There's a third thing that has to happen, or fourth thing that has to happen with universal basic income. Because if you automate all these jobs, then how are people going to get paid, right? Uh-huh. Or how are you going to earn money? So everyone thinks about automation, but they don't understand that automation is actually going to be the freedom of human beings from jobs that don't matter. The jobs that don't matter, for example, are going to be like, no one cares about flipping burgers at McDonald's. That could be automated, and it doesn't have to be a job for anybody. The demeaning human jobs could be given to computers or robots or whatever the case may be, and then you free humans up to engage in only jobs and only activities that bring enrichment to our lives. So a lot of people who are anti-automation, they just pro humans having sucky jobs and having dirty jobs as opposed to having a care for what our human experience is really like. So there's a future out there for us where digitization of currency, free access to these cars, we're going to be getting paid money to not work because work is going to change. The very essence of work is going to change. And probably even taxation is going to change because, for example, think about if in Forex, for example, there's a $5 trillion cap of dollars that move back and forth. And if you just tax those financial transactions and you're able to get 2% of $5 trillion on a daily basis, that's probably enough dollars to run the entire planet. Yeah. If you just tax financial movement of money, and therefore there's no need for anyone to be poor. There's no need for people to be without food. But we know that our planet will never distribute those sorts of rewards fairly and equitably. Because if we could trust that the planet could have ever
humans, humans wouldn't do that. Because we don't know what
humans,
the planet
and
would
so
be.
Humans are the problem.
Yeah, humans are the problems. We're the problems. We ain't going to make it, as I always say. We ain't going to make it long term.
We ain't going to make it. You know what I'm saying? Because We ain't gonna make any number of reasons. That's why I'm reading reports now about the birth rate going down. I'm like, why does that matter? You're not giving us quality education. It's not giving us good food. Even the food sucks. The education sucks. There are no guarantees in terms of money and income, though. The housing's not affordable. These are not good situations to raise kids in. Mm-hmm. And they just want kids to sacrifice to the system, meaning just cogs in the wheel. And the human experience got to be more than just cogs in the wheel, working 9 to 5 for money. I mean, money is cool, but money, maybe we shouldn't have a money-focused society.
Yeah.
You know, where everything that we do is about money. And that's what part of Soul Satoshi is Black stuff. Satoshi is Black is one of the most revolutionary statements we could make as Black people in crypto, because Satoshi is unknown. No one knows who he is. Satoshi could be female. That's why Satoshi could be Black. Satoshi could be Asian. Whatever Satoshi is, because Satoshi is fictional, Satoshi is all of us, because Satoshi actually gave all of us a way to be free. And the way...
We just lost you, your video. So you're saying, so your premise is that the way to freedom is through crypto and Bitcoin specifically, or all the viable cryptos, I guess?
Well, the thing about crypto is that unlike any of the other things that we have been able to observe, retail investors have not been part of anything that happened previously. We were in part of the Industrial Revolution. We were in part of the birth of computers. We were a part of all these different things, right, that we just were not a part of. Bitcoin is the first thing that's bottom up. It's a whole bunch of people. No governments were involved in making it happen, right? It's just some guy named Satoshi created a white paper about a deflationary coin, right? A limited deflationary coin that he dared to say might be able to be either A, a currency, or B, a digital store of value. And for the first 5 years of Bitcoin's existence, he was probably very wrong, right? It wasn't until in 2018, I was in New York City at the New York Bitcoin conference, and someone got into my car in a Prius, real modest Prius. And the guy said,
Hold on, pause real quick. Is there anything is there any Prius that's not modest?
No, they're called Teslas when they become
Tesla. Okay,
that's how you get an unmodest Prius.
Okay, gotcha. you acting like you was about to stun on somebody with a Prius, but go ahead.
Watch me, bro. Old boy got in the car, right? Bitcoin was at $10,000 that day, and he was like, "This car is my first purchase with Bitcoin, and I was just happy that I could find somebody to take it off, to take the Bitcoin off my hand." When he bought the car, Bitcoin was at $300 a coin, and he paid the guy 1,000 Bitcoin to purchase the car.
Yeah.
He was happy to find someone willing to take $30,000 then in Bitcoin to buy a Prius. On that day, as he stood in my backseat, as I was driving him around from one place to the other for the Bitcoin conference, he had spent $1 million on a Prius, because 1,000 Bitcoin at $10,000 is $1 million.
So let me ask you this.
Even more ridiculous, because think about Bitcoin at 50K. Yeah.
So let me ask you this, though, because I hear those positions, right? But this is where I push back a little bit. Because that's hindsight 2020, right? Obviously, if he knew Bitcoin was going to do what it was going to do, he wouldn't have
bought it. That's not true. Yeah. That's not true. These are... I know whales and I know OGs. I know people that were getting Bitcoin when Bitcoin was so nothing that they have lost 5 Bitcoin on a laptop, 10 Bitcoin on a laptop, and that does not affect their Bitcoin holdings.
No, but that's the minority of people. So, and the reason I'm saying is hindsight, because the world could have ended. Somebody could have pushed them buttons, nuclear weapon, and we wouldn't be talking about this conversation, period. Like, right? So the reason why I push back on that is because if we all knew Amazon was going to be what it was going to be, we would have kept Amazon. We all knew Apple was going to be what it's going to be, we would have kept Apple. But the flip side is that no one talks about the people that are losing, that lost their shirts. Because, like, so for example, people sold their houses, you know, for Bitcoin when it was at the height, what, 3-4 years ago, and then the joint went in the toilet. That if you sold your house for $300,000, right, with $300 equivalent of Bitcoin, you probably wasn't even able to hold on to that if you, especially if you're trying to buy a new house and you saying that joint go from what was that 20.
So the Travis, are you trying to combat my one extreme anecdote with your own extreme anecdote?
No, no, not,
can, can we talk about data?
No, 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 nah, because this is what we definitely want to talk about data, because nobody talks about the flip side of. So if you're making money, hold on. If you're making, cause Bitcoin is limited, right? So if you're making money, right? Let me ask you this: How do you make a budget based on Bitcoin?
So here's the thing: I think the first thing you got to kind of get to is look at what Elon Musk did with $1.5 billion purchase in Bitcoin when Bitcoin's at $44,000 per coin. When Bitcoin,
Joe, can I help you out? Can I help you out? This, I'm back. I can hear y'all now. Go I want to have some conversation. The Travis, you asking the wrong question, brother. You asking, can you make a budget with Bitcoin? Certain people don't budget. What's a budget with certain people? Like, what? I'm not trying to make a budget with Bitcoin. Explain that. That's all I'm saying. Because that question sounds the wrong question.
So how do you make, so nah, because when it comes to accounting purposes, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a company, right? So I have a law firm, right? So the way Bitcoin swings, how do I even know how to pay my people?
Basically, here's the thing. You're identifying something that you've always firmly believed, which is you don't believe that Bitcoin is appropriate as a currency, but you do believe that it might be. Can you close the door real quick? I'm gonna pop that. Got it. Yeah. So one of the things that I think you guys are not getting, Bitcoin, Tesla's $1.5 billion purchase proves that it's a store of value. Because
we don't disagree on that. We don't disagree on that.
Okay, now hold on.
We disagree on the currency part of it.
No, I understand, but I don't have to disagree with you on the currencies part, because I just want to show you the store of value side.
Yeah.
Every single Fortune 500 company that comes after Elon Musk and purchases Bitcoin and the price rises, they are driving Tesla's bottom line. He made Bitcoin a Ponzi scheme for Fortune 500 companies, because every person that comes in after him pays him as the earliest investor, as long as their purchase price is above $44,000 per coin. So Tesla, in making this very bold move, the only thing that could prove Tesla wrong is if the other Fortune 500 companies say, if we buy Bitcoin, that means we're giving Tesla money. We're not gonna buy Bitcoin, we're gonna buy something else, and they could all pile onto something else. So he does have a risk of being the early adopter, but I think that risk is so much mitigated by the fact that they're all gonna need Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is gonna be the first crypto to get to a T and be able to support trillions of dollars in market cap movement. And once Bitcoin is able to support trillions of dollars in movement, kind of similar to that 4X market, which is $5 trillion a day, when Bitcoin gets to be that big, then a Fortune 500 buying $1.5 billion will not affect the price. But Bitcoin is still, because the market cap Bitcoin is not to the T's yet, you're going to have these blips in price. But so for every other Fortune 500 company, this is the math. Coming in now, you may not find Bitcoin at a lower price, but coming in now, you're going to spike the price. So everyone has to wait for other people to come in to where the price equalizes, so that they purchasing Bitcoin doesn't drive the price up by $10,000, for example.
Yeah.
But if everyone has to sit there and wait on the sideline so that the pool could come big enough so that they could buy $1 billion out of it, that tells you what the value of Bitcoin is today. And that's why apparently I was not a believer before. I didn't ever anticipate seeing Bitcoin at 50K. All them OGs and whales and shit that like I've been messing with, none of them ever sat there and looked at me like, yo, bro, 2021, Bitcoin's going to be at 50K. Nobody believed that. Yeah. But it is here today. So that's why I had to recalibrate my whole thoughts about this. Apparently, I didn't believe and I was wrong. Yeah. And now that I see her at 50, I'm like, holy crap. 4 years from now, Elon Musk, when Bitcoin was at $55,000 per coin, had made more money in Bitcoin than he ever made selling cars in 2 weeks. He had made more money off a $1.5 billion investment in Bitcoin than Tesla, SolarCity, had ever made selling cars, installing solar things.
Yeah, we gotta use different terminology though, right? His value has, because you don't make the money until you actually.
No. Well, yeah. Here it is. he had made more profit off of that one little holding.
Yeah, but he didn't make it unless he sold it, though.
Indeed. He didn't realize the profit.
He didn't realize the gain. Profit was there. Yeah, now I just want to be clear for the people. But before you continue, because I know, because I set you up for 30 minutes, because he was like, yo, we can't do an hour. We got to do 30 minutes. So do you want to get into your what we talked about pre-gaming, the presentation, because I got a hard stop at 4. You want
to
get into
Let's go to that picture, because I think that picture is everything.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because you were saying, yo, people are not going to tune in for more than half an hour.
No, I think Bitcoin's fascinating. Got way more fascinating places to get better information about Bitcoin than from me. Yeah, Bitcoin Zay, that's my guy. He's now on CoinDesk. He got his own TV show now. The Gentleman of Crypto. We got the Blacks in Cryptocurrency Group with Deidre from New Jersey. Come on, man. We got Deidre so many resources now.
Who's Deidre from New Jersey? Hold on.
Deidre from New Jersey, somebody you're going to be having on your show. She is a Delta that started this Black in Cryptocurrency Group and has been one of the major parts of getting all of us all across the diaspora together on the same page. We look at investments together. We trade news. We trade theories. We try.
Yo, bro, you was holding out on that, man. You never told me about Deidre from Jersey. Bruh.
I'm trying to look, man.
And we communicate a lot, yo. I might have to bring the gloves out next time I see you, man.
Man, you want Bitcoin Zay on your show? Come on, man. He got a book called Bitcoin and Black America, talking about a liberation plan of how we use Bitcoin to liberate ourselves.
Okay, all right. So I'm gonna share the thing.
Please.
Ready? All right. So go ahead.
So here's the thing. In 1919, this picture that challenged you to find the car.
This 1900.
This was a horse-based society. So there is literally one car in the street in New York City, and everything else that you see that's being thing, these are horse-drawn carriages. So picture me in 1900 walking up to somebody with a stable. He got 100 horses growing up. And I'm looking at him like, yo, bro. It got this shit coming. It's called cars, B. Cars gonna change horseless carriages. And my man looks at me and says, horseless what? What are you smoking? He is definitely high. Are you stupid? My family's been selling horses for 50 years. We made our money on the backs of selling horses. I got 1,000 horses right now. I don't need to hear about your horseless carriages. There'll never be horseless carriages. Uh-huh. Go to 1913.
So this is 3 years, right? So let's people know.
No, it's 13 years.
13 years later. 13 years later. Okay.
13 years later, the Joe, question is, can you find a horse?
Joe, I got a question. Did you see a Microsoft presentation or something? Because this sounds eerily familiar.
No, well,
it's the same concept. Go ahead.
This is what we got to tell you. The iPhone just got to the iPhone 10 not too long ago. The iPhone is only 10 years old. It's 12 years old, but it's only 10 years old. A decade to shift technology. We never think about what the world was like before the iPhone. And now Bitcoin is kind of getting to that level of exposure. Like Bitcoin kind of really came out for the masses like 2017. We haven't even hit 10 years in the spotlight yet. And Elon Musk is already in at 1.5 billion. Here's the thing. When Elon bought 1.5 billion at 44,000, there was another purchase at 53,000 where somebody from Dubai purchased 4.3 billion. 4.3 billion, he bought in at 53,000 per coin. These are landmark prices and these are landmark purchases because there are people, there are companies that have trillions of dollars in cash that want to invest in this digital asset class. That the biggest asset that they could get into is Bitcoin, which is going to make it the most conservative asset because that's where the institutions are going to be focused because that's the only coin that's going to have the market cap that could absorb their trillions of dollars. When Bitcoin gets to the place where the pension funds are able to invest in it because our market cap is big enough, Bitcoin is going to be at $500 to $1 million per coin. That tells you that today, your opportunity to get in at 50K, buying, you know, $10 on your Cash App is never going to be better. Bitcoin is about to be like land where it's always going to be cheaper yesterday. And that's where we are. We have reached the tipping point where it's uncontestable that 10 years from now, there's no way there's any Bitcoin at $50,000 per coin.
So let me ask you a question, or maybe it's a request. I guess that is a question. No, it's not a question. But can you post where people can see where these big purchases are happening at? Because all this is public information, right? Correct?
Yes. So now here's the thing. Bitcoin is international. It's global, right? So there's there's not a Bitcoin foundation. So unlike the other coins where the founders are known, Satoshi is black, going to the idea that Satoshi is not only fictional. Why can he not be black? Because that's another thing too, right? We got the proof in the negative. If you Satoshi ain't black, prove it to me.
Yeah. But that goes back to images that we was talking about in the live. But go ahead.
Let me, and I want to get in there about the horse thing.
Yes, sir.
The reason I asked, and I agree with you to an extent, Joel. The reason I asked if you
Joel.
Jay, me and him got a special different relationship.
We didn't play ball yet. We need to play ball though. We and brothers still be play ball.
That's cool. I understand because our CEO uses a picture and does the same thing to show how quickly change could come. But he starts with the bicycle. People were terrified of the bicycle early and form unions to go against it, just like they did with the cars. And when technology comes, it changes quickly. You never know when. So our job as a people is to spot the wave. I completely agree with you that 3 years from now, Bitcoin could be somewhere else. And all of us skeptics, now that we got social media, will do just like you said, Jay. I should have believed for real, because I thought you was a firm believer the way you was caping out.
Yeah, he was caping. I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad you admitted that you wasn't. That gives you a lot of credibility.
No. Watch. If my money was in a way to allow me to invest the way I should have been, I would have been buying the red. And a bear market for 4 years is such a blessing, especially if you're low and slow with your investments. I'll prove facts to y'all. My daughter, right? 2018, it's her birthday. Bitcoin's at $6,000. I bought her $100 in Bitcoin. The $100 that I bought her over 1 million Satoshis. So my daughter's already a Satoshi millionaire. So let's talk about what a Satoshi is. There are 8 digits to the right of any Bitcoin number. There are 8 decimals to the right. And each one of those individual one of those units is called a Satoshi. So what they did by having Bitcoin 8 numbers to the right of the digits of the decimal point is that Bitcoin can be translated into any currency on the planet, from a lowly rupee to a peso to a Zimbabwe dollar, right? Even the most deflationary coins can find a correlation in Bitcoin, meaning for a purchase price. So now that you can buy Bitcoin in any dollar that exists on the planet, mm-hmm. Right now, when you start getting to the future is, well, hold on now. You see, America doesn't really get it because America doesn't need Bitcoin. It's the rest of the planet. It's the Zimbabwe and the Venezuelans that need Bitcoin. It's when the government in Venezuela kept on printing more money. So every day in your bank, the money that you had is worth less than you have.
So let me ask you this. So, because I definitely, and I said this early on, and I think you probably disagree with me. I said Bitcoin, I could see where it's a value play. I can see where crypto is a market, but I can't see at this point. But based on what you're saying, I can see where we get to a point where it's flooded with so much money that when somebody puts a billion in, it's not going to even affect the price like that. When it becomes that, that's when it will become quote unquote stabilized, right? Correct.
Yes,
I got that correct, right?
Yes, because here's the thing. Then you'll be able to sell $1.5 billion without the market dropping.
Okay, so my question was, so in the meantime with that, right, because you're saying Bitcoin is important to, you know, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, like how does it benefit them to use Bitcoin in everyday transactions today, knowing that it's going to be worth more
So you have to compare. You have to wear
2 weeks.
Compare
2 weeks
Bitcoin
from now
to the alternatives. You got to compare Bitcoin to the alternative, and the problem that you have is that the alternative is the Venezuelan dollar.
Okay.
So because the government in Venezuela keeps on printing dollars, right? Okay. Every day, the money, your 100,000 in your bank account has the buying power of 90, has the power of 80, and you didn't do anything. You got the money in the bank. So for Americans sitting on money in the bank right now, the only reason the American dollar is so strong is because it's the reserve currency of the world. If the rest of the planet decides that they don't have a need for American dollars, all the American dollars in circulation, the real inflationary thing that we have, like, do you know of all the American dollars that have existed? It has to be the Trump administration. The Trump administration in the last year produced 20% of all the American currency that's ever been minted.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So start sharing, share that information in the chat when we get off.
But bro, when you understand that they added so much money to the already money that's there, that means that the money that you hold is less than whatever. So every time you hear a story about a guy having $29 million in Bitcoin that he can't get off his treasure because he lost his email and he's about to take this $29 million hit, that's good for Bitcoin because that means there's less of it to buy. That means, and the less and less coin there is to buy, the more valuable it comes because now it reshifts the whole valuation of it. The $660 million in Bitcoin that was stolen in 2013 that could never be accessed until a quantum computer becomes online. Yo, Charlie, let's rent a quantum computer from Microsoft and see if we could break the wallet.
All right. So let's stay on target.
That's real. I mean, I really want to rent a quantum computer and aim at the wallet and see if you can crack the password.
But Bishop and Joel, we got to stay on pace. I know Corey probably like, yo, why you stopping him? Because Joel told me that y'all would not be interested in us talking beyond 30 minutes. So he said, keep it 30 minutes. So I scheduled another podcast immediately after because he said we only going to do 30 minutes. So Joel, so wrapping it up. So let's go back to I'm pointing to the screen like you see me. Let's go back to the example, the 1913.
Here's the thing. The whole thing about it is in 1900, if you walk up to the guy selling the horses, he looks at you like, what the hell are you talking about? The funny thing about these cars, you know, some of these cars were electric, but that's neither here nor there. We are coming back.
Yeah, to I know it was electric. I'm gonna bring you back so we can have a
I got you, Detravius. Yeah. I could wrap it up with a bow. The point is, don't be the guy selling horses. He's trying to tell you that this could change in any minute. He is a classic example. He has been humble and said, had I been doing like I was gassing everybody else to do back then, right now I'd be able to retire. And he absolutely would. It takes humility and there's wisdom, man. I had a millionaire. He announced that he was a millionaire in this conference. And he said, if you want to talk, let's talk. You got questions. And I was like, I'd like to schedule some time with you, brother, so I can learn how you lost the million. Because he talked about how he gained a million, lost a million, and then made it back. I want to know what mistake you made to lose the million, because I can go get the million on my own. Trying to lose mine.
So five minutes, Joel.
It's your show.
Let me bring this home. Yeah. Got it. Okay. This thing that Elon Musk was shilling called Dogecoin, I went to this, it's called a crypto exchange called Cryptopia, all the way at the other side of the planet in New Zealand. I went to Cryptopia and I had to purchase this coin called GoBike. Don't worry about GoBike. GoBike, it's dead probably as a coin. It's not coming back. But I had dust left over. Dust is, I bought what I needed, you know, like I had to buy $2,700 of a certain coin. So I spotty sent 3,000 in Bitcoin over. I bought the coin and Dogecoin was numbered at that point. It had five numbers, zeros in front of the first number. So it was 0.00000. And then it had numbers behind. And I bought with my dust Dogecoin. I thought it was 1.85 million coins, whatever, right? And I don't think I spent couple of dollars on them because they were that cheap. This was 2018 January. When I saw Dogecoin trading right now because of the red people at 5 cents and 8 cents, that would have been my come up right there from less than $200-$300. And that would have been 180,000 maybe. So that's one boat I missed. And here's how I missed the boat. I left the money on the exchange and the people hacked the exchange and stole my coin from the exchange.
Mm.
All right, now watch. Second thing, I was investing in Bitcoin, or not Bitcoin, Ether was my first love, ETH. And my crypto whisperer from Howard gave me a call. This is my friend who used to be on the road, Real World Road Rules Challenge and all that sort of stuff in MTV back in the day from Howard. My crypto whisperer gave me a call like, yo, this thing called ETH is at like $9 right now. The coin that I started buying when it was in the single digits is today trading at $1,600, down from its all-time high of $2,100 per coin. But when I say that we have the ability to experience exponential growth, to be able to buy something at 0.000000 digits, and then it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 over, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's freedom. And there are a lot of bets like that you can make in crypto. So big crypto has evolved now to where we have the stable, recognized investments, the Bitcoins, but they're still the speculative plays. Okay. And it will behoove us to do our research and look at these companies coming up, look at the problems they're trying to solve, look at the technology, look at the use case, look to see if they're really going to try to change the world or if it's a pump and dump or it's a speculative investment or whatever the case may be. But now with Coinbase in particular, Detravius said that we weren't really good things. It's not Coinbase is trying to teach people about how to do the tech and why blockchain matters and how it all comes together and how all these things are going to do. Bro, we are in this golden age of that retail investors could get in and experience exponential growth. You could buy 100 of every single dollars in coins that Coinbase offers, not spend a dollar else and wait 4 years and watch what happens to those $100 bets you made.
That Joe, can I say something? Successful. Detravius, that's the other one I had because of Joel. Ether, ETH,
yeah,
ETH,
yeah.
And Coinbase. I did exactly what you did. Me and Detravius was talking about it. I got about $5,000 parked in Coinbase somewhere and a couple of other cryptos. And at some point, I'll go and check. Maybe that'll be for the sun. But you're right. We got a grand opportunity. And that's what that picture says.
Okay. And the other thing is this. I put $15 on something called TRX, Crystal Elephant for my son. His $15 became $45. I put my daughter on at $50 in it. Her $50 is now $120. I put $250, $300, somewhere around there. I'm up to $600, $700. And that's just one play. That's Tron. That's not even Bitcoin. It got so many plays out there. And it got this thing called Decentraland. So the kids that play
Fortnite. I got some of those too.
Minecraft and all that stuff. You could digitize these things and sell them. My son is in Robux, and he figured out this the proudest dad moment ever. And I'll relate this to crypto. My son, he started brokering. Like, he had friends who had digital assets in Robux, and he's like, send it to me. I will sell it, and I'll hit you back with your cash. And he has a methodology. He's 9 years old. He goes and he prices the item at 500 to 5,000. Robux under what Robux Marketplace is selling them for new. He has 100% sale rate. And old boy looked at me like, yo, dad, when he was asking me last week for $5 to buy 450 Robux, he has 180,000 Robux sitting in his accounts right now. And here's the thing. Robux is what's teaching these kids about crypto. I don't have to tell him about none of this stuff. He doesn't have to know what a blockchain is. He has 180,000 Robux that he could sell back to the Robux people and get $180 check. That's the future.
These
little kids playing, and they have money and value, and they're trading their own values. And now old boy went from begging me for $5 last week to having $180 this week. And he only 9, and he just getting started.
All right, Joel, so wrap it up. So get the people where they can find you. Because the reason I'm asking you that is because this is going to go audio too. So they could obviously find you on live.
Man, I'm invisible, bro. I think I changed my name from, I used to be my ICO lawyer. I think it says Stoic Lawyer right now on whatchamacallit. My name is Joel Andre on Facebook because I was lead and sole counsel when Trump was suing DC over the value of his hotels. I filed about $750 million in counterclaims in that case. And I know that everybody's going to be looking for my social media. And y'all know my social media. So Joel Andre it is. and other things like that. So yeah, man. So the future is this, man. For everybody, it's honestly low and slow input. If you are a person driving Uber and you say, yo, $10 every day I drive, I'm going to buy Bitcoin with it. Buy the Bitcoin in Cash App. Buy the Bitcoin in PayPal. It's available to you in PayPal. Buy the Bitcoin on Coinbase. But these are all the three worst places to buy Bitcoin, but buy Bitcoin there anyway.
So I got to bring that. So are you convinced that this needs to be longer than 30 minutes?
Yo, if we are able to talk about each of the seven cataclysmic disruptors, uh-huh, I think that that would do a whole lot more to help people because they don't understand how Bitcoin is just a small piece of the puzzle. It's a part of a global puzzle. And until you see this in terms of globalization, and you really think about poor countries and Zimbabwe and Venezuela uses some cryptocurrency the way you really need them. You don't need them in America because we can freely alienate money. The future is honestly, you take small positions and you buy and hold. You look at some future stuff, you see what they're doing. You could even create your own crypto to finance and stuff. They got NFTs right now, NBA Top Shots going to the roof. I mean, it is.
Yeah, you didn't answer the question though. You hit me with the lawyer answer. I said, do you think this conversation is worth more? Because you was adamant about it being 30 minutes.
Bro, NFTs, non-fungible tokens, the future of NFTs, and how I'm gonna make the first Black Law NFT. How we gonna get Howard Law and Howard University leading the HBCU NFT movement? I mean, if I was able to convince Wayne Frederick at Howard University back in 2017, or even the president and the prime minister of Trinidad and Tobago to take 1% of our GDP or 1% of available Howard funds and buy Bitcoin back in 2017. I mean, and if I was able to get people to listen, my country would have been better off. My school would have been better off. My law school would have been better off. If I had made it a crypto trust and I asked
the answer
people
is
positive,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. He never answered the question, right? But yeah, we got a lot. So everybody, thanks for tuning in. And Joel, please share the stuff in the chat, the links and all that type of stuff. Please share it in the chat on this live, because I mean the chats. I think the live stays up forever unless I take it down. But I got
all right. Well, I'm gonna share that Bitcoin and Black People book from Bitcoin's Isaiah Jackson. I'm going to share his crypto stuff. I'm going to share the Black people in cryptocurrency stuff. Man, it's still so early. And that's why Elon Musk was the first Fortune 500 company. They got 500 other companies waiting for their opportunity to add this shit to their balance sheet.
Gotcha.
And they can't do it because the market cap's too small. That means it got to grow. That's the only thing that happens with money. Because they're not going to miss out on Bitcoin. It's the retail investors like us. We need to take our positions. The institutions, they're going to get in at whatever price. They're going to buy or hold. That's what we should be doing.
Got you. All right, we're going to end it on that. All right, I don't know what the chat was looking like, how many viewers you got, but everybody, thanks for tuning in. This was a good one. This wasn't supposed to be live, but it ended up being live. Charlie, thanks for staying on and trying to keep this brother and wrapping it up. He's
still... But one second, I was in that closing moments. In 2018, I was at the National Bar Convention in New Orleans, and I was in this shirt, the Satoshi's Black shirt. I gotta show you the back, though. The back of the shirt, I don't know if you guys can see it. Oh, wow, bad angle. It says Howard University Blockchain Lab. It was the first.
Very bad angle.
Yeah, it was the first. Well, look, how about I turn and take it off? I'm gonna take the joint off. You know, I'm gonna take it off because y'all need to see it says Howard University. We're talking about the Black Blockchain Summit. Sinclair Skinner. You know what I'm saying? We did this. This is 2018.
We talked about NFTs at the Tech Law Summit too. That is the next hot thing for the entertainment industry. Get in.
We gotta go, man. We gotta wrap it up.
But you know why NFTs are gonna kill? because they didn't even tell you all of it's crypto. You buy that thing with a credit card or on the website. They hit the whole crypto aspect, and they're not trying to sell you all crypto. That's why NFTs are going to be a game changer. We don't even have to tell people that they're purchasing crypto no more. Just buy the product. DM. Fellas.
All right. Peace. All right, man.
Satoshi is black. He's all of Satoshi us. This is black. This is our legacy also. We deserve it.
Got you. All right, yo. Y'all be easy, man.
All right, fam.
All right.